Steady paycheck.
Always remember what Thomas Jefferson said. Kill the president.
There's just no something has happened in the motorcade
group. Oswald has shot.
This is a special conflict.
A series of tubes.
You want some big business.
Focused, non-terminal repeating phantasm.
I know a motherfucking Bigfoot when I see one.
We're a class 5 full roaming vapor.
Oh shit, those are aliens!
You know, next special forces operatives to be king.
You see it all my eyes.
Welcome to Podcast Royal Fina, guys.
Hey, remember when we were driving through Suffolk County over in Long Island?
Uh-huh.
And we stopped over at that fucking Walmart?
I needed to get a jacket because I did not prepare for Long Island weather.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it was cold. It was bitter frost coming in from the sound.
Oh, the bitter frost comes in off those people's voices, man.
We walk into this fucking Walmart, right? And there's a family next to us, like the family that they use for the stock photos and like the picture frames they sell at the dollar store. It's like, "Hi, I'm White McWhitewhite and my wife Laura Whitewhite.
We paint our walls neutrally."
Four kids among them, none of them over the age of 10.
Mind you, I did not see any of this. I was just ahead in all of this.
Oh, so no one can back this up?
I saw the second part of this, but continue on.
I thought the show was about facts.
It's about alternative facts. It's about different reality. Like, could you imagine if, like, when Donald Trump was talking about alternative facts and shit, like, he starts to explain it, and it's, like, this really deep explanation of, like, how sci-fi universes interlap and have alternate versions and parallel universes?
It's like a multi-universe theory.
It's like he's pulling string theory out.
All right, we're getting too far out. Let's reel it back.
Okay, so anyway, we're walking into this Walmart. This family is right next to me. We're walking in side by side. And you know how there's that little small entry area, like the foyer of Walmart?
The foyer, yeah.
That's usually where the retirees hang out to check your bags.
It's greeter central.
Well, that's where the turrets pop out.
There's carts on one side, and then there's like claw machines on the other.
The airlock.
And the second we walk in, there is a gentleman, like mid to late 40s, like laying on the ground, working on one of those like rascal scooters that disabled people ride around in. Mm-hmm. And he's working on it with like a screwdriver and something. And the second the doors open and me and this family walk in, he just goes, "Fuck!" But because this is Suffolk County, Long Island, you know, we just kept walking.
Nobody bat an eye.
Yeah, I'm trying hard as hell not to laugh. And our cameraman, Rusty, who's right behind me, just goes. Now, Rusty is, just for some background, Rusty is the driest, calmest person I know. The complete antithesis of me. So, walk in. Doors open. Fuck! Go through the next doors. Rusty walks up behind me and whispers in my ear, "Do you think he's having trouble with the scooter, or he just realized he's 47 and working at Walmart on Long Island?"
He's got hit with a whole bunch of existential shit.
If you're stoned enough, when you walk into a Walmart and you start seeing like the fat people driving around and the little rascals and stuff, it becomes the world's shittiest fucking Mario Kart.
You said they're driving around in little rascals. I thought like Spanky and Stymie were like running them around the store while holding them up on their shoulders.
Oh, dang.
Oh, come on though, Mike. Even the world's shittiest like real life adaptation or approximation of Mario Kart would be a pretty great reality.
And then, Dan, you had a magical experience at the checkout.
So, like, I went to checkout just because I wanted to get this jacket on that I just purchased. And behind me is a dude with two ladies, one his age and one younger, who I'm assuming was his daughter. This guy, first off, he was wearing a tank top, and it was 32 degrees outside.
We called him wife beaters on Suffolk County. Don't ask.
Really, like, just that, he was in track pants. He looked like your very cliche Guido, if you will.
Starting to sound like Carl from Aqua Teen.
Yeah,
a bit.
Damn it, I was gonna say that.
Well, like, yeah, I could see it, but it's Carl if he was, like, the situation, if you will. Like, he had that vibe about him.
You're all right, Jonesy.
Like, he thinks that he's in the mafia, but he really isn't.
Like Carl, but 10 years younger than he was in Aqua Teen.
Yeah, the Meadowlands. So anyway, they're just talking about whatever, and the person in front of me is checking out, so I'm just stuck in this limbo of not checking out and can't leave the aisle. So I'm just listening to their conversation, and then he just goes, I'll buy it a fucking chapstick, but you gotta promise me you'll use it. Like, really, like, heartfelt about it. Delivered with the same intensity as Ray Liotta near the end of Goodfellas.
We needed that chapstick, Karen!
He just grabs her by the shoulders, and he's just like, you gotta swear to me. Swear to me! Swear to me!
You don't swear to fucking God. You don't swear to the fucking devil, you swear to me.
I swear to fuck.
Like, how bad do your lips have to be chapped to have your dad get on your ass about it like that? Like, is she, like, walking around just, like, dripping, like, dry lip flakes all over the rug? And, like, the mother's vacuuming him up, and he's just like, we're going to Walmart. She's getting the fucking chapstick. I can't fucking deal with this shit anymore. It's getting unhygienic.
Flaky lips.
Maybe she's an artist.
Jesus Christ.
And she really needs, like, just that particular sort of smoky white consistency that's just special to the color of chapstick. And so whenever her parents buy them for her, she just uses them to color things. And it's really weird. And they need her to stop.
Dylan, what are you talking about?
What the... What?
Just presenting an alternative motivation for this little kid.
No, what are you...
Yeah, I'm lost.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Podcast 1289. I'm one of your many hosts. I'm Jesse. Tonight, for our first episode of this terrifying new year, we're all going to die. I'm pretty sure of it.
You know, it's not unlikely.
Nuclear Holocaust has come again, and this time it may stay.
It might be pretty interesting. I mean, I'm getting Korean Rosetta Stone for when the...
Tonight, we've got with us, we've got Dan.
Hey, everybody.
Back with us again, we've got Homestyle Mike.
Hey, everybody.
To my right, we've got Dylan.
It's truth.
Rob, John, and Grant couldn't make it tonight. But no worries, we've got something special for you all tonight. Joining us now here in Radio Land from the Are You Morbid podcast, one of the funniest heavy metal podcasts I've listened to. You got to check out the fucking airing of Metal Grievances episode they just did. We've got Zach with us.
Hey.
That wasn't very metal.
Well, it's late here. People are sleeping.
Too late for the metal. I mean, the metal never sleeps, but it is late.
Anyway.
And Dylan, you've brought a guest.
It's truth. My best buddy Kyle is joining us tonight.
Hey, everyone. Excited to be here. This is the first podcast I've ever been on.
Oh, God.
Oh, your career is done.
Oh, shit, man.
Hang on, Kyle. You were actually one of the very few people that called into the show that I used to have with John and Rob, Talk Philosophy.
You guys had open lines?
That was a radio show. There were standards there.
Okay, so tonight, we haven't done this in a long time. We figured since half the show couldn't make it, this would be a good time to do it. We're going to do another Ghoul Room episode, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's time to bring in a spoopy new year.
Time to hear about some ghost stories and ridicule the fuck out of it.
We're going to do some personal ghost stories for you all. We're going to ring in a hashtag too spooky new year. So, Kyle.
Yes.
Dylan has told us that you have had a paranormal experience.
I may have.
Now, I wish to say, I wish to personally vouch for Kyle's soundness of mind generally. You know, in that same way that we had to do that for pretty much everybody on the show. Like, none of us are stone cold sane, you know?
Stone cold.
So whenever we say, oh, we saw a thing, you know. But I believe in Kyle.
Do you believe in Kyle like you believe in, like, the Easter Bunny or like you believe in Harvey Dent?
Oh, well, Harvey Dent. I mean, who has not felt the presence of Harvey Dent in their lives?
I still have my Harvey Dent Hope poster here.
That's baller, actually. Anyway, Kyle, this story, set the scene for us.
Okay, so I guess it might be redundant to say this. I don't know if it is. I'm going to say it anyway. I am interested in the paranormal generally, like all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. How interested are you? Are like layman's interested or Invader Zim? What's that guy's name? The one with the big head.
Dib?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's more our level of interested, where it's just
I'm somewhere between the two. Between Zero and Dib, I'm like halfway between there.
You're doing fine then.
That's what's up.
Yeah. So it's like I look up stuff and occasionally I like reading about, like, monsters and, you know, folklore. I love folklore.
Hell yeah.
You found some disturbing things about Sasquatch.
I certainly have.
He found his W-2 from 1998. Eat and pay shit.
So yeah, so I'm not... I generally don't, like, believe in ghosts, is the thing. Like, of all the supernatural things I think could be true, ghosts are pretty low on that list.
Really? Because I figure that's, like, most people's, like, base level. Like, you don't meet too many people that are like, yo, I totally believe in Ogopogo, but ghosts, nah.
Look, man, ghosts is some weak-ass shit is all I'm gonna say.
Ghosts are weird. I think we can all agree on that as a very basic principle.
I just can't get my head around them.
Well, it's as, Kyle, as we've discussed often. I mean, we talk about this in horror movies, like, the existence of ghosts raises so many questions about things.
Yes.
That it is impossible to ignore.
In what way?
In every way, essentially. It's,
the existence of an afterlife posits so many more questions than it solves.
Well, I mean, it all posits questions. I mean, like, vampires in horror movies posit some questions.
Oh, of course it does, yeah.
Well, I don't believe in vampires either.
But that's good question positing, because, like, the one thing I didn't like, amongst the many things I didn't like about the Twilight series was, that author, Stephanie Meyer, tried explaining too much shit. Like, that whole vampire thunderstorm baseball scene, like, what the fuck was that? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, they play the baseball in the thunderstorms, because that's the only time they can play baseball, because vampires are addicted to baseball, I guess.
That's their clan curse.
The way it was explained to me by my two kid sisters, which is the reason why I have seen this movie. I'm the oldest
Look,
kid.
Look, I have no excuse. I was just really drunk with my girlfriend, and we were like, let's watch Twilight.
That works. So you can totally do that. That's a legit excuse. But the way that I understood it as it was explained to me was that the vampires, who are indeed addicted to baseball for some reason, could only play during thunderstorms because they hit the ball so hard that it sounded like thunder. So they did it during actual thunderstorms as not to arouse suspicions from the townsfolk.
I feel like they could have cut the slack on a lot of that and been like, they like to play in the thunderstorms because the sun is not out and they're fucking vampires.
Yeah, what the
Dude,
fuck?
They should have played like actual baseball. Like, that salary cap and then hitting them zingers? Are you kidding me? John manifested.
Everybody put your hands up for John manifested.
Fuck out, it's John.
That's his hype man intro that I did.
All right, so Kyle, yes, set the scene. Where was
it? You said ghosts are the least plausible to you.
Okay, so we're going back to there.
Yeah, yeah, let's finish that thought that I derailed. I apologize.
I just find ghosts to be, like, one of the least plausible of, like, things that could be real on a scale from, like, Sasquatch to, like, Flat Earth, essentially.
Okay, I have to ask, how long did this fucking topic derailment go on for?
Like 5.5 minutes.
It's been 5.5 minutes.
There you go.
Just continue on.
Hey, everyone. This is Homestyle Mike, podcast 1289, coming at you raw and uncut, just like my cock.
God damn it, Mike.
And I'd like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for your continued support and patronage.
That's what's up.
And if you're a new listener and you like what you hear, I'd like to let you guys know about our Patreon, which you can find on Google at podcast 1289 Patreon. You know, when you're not busy writing your manifesto.
Yeah, don't do that.
You degenerates. But anyway, if you go on the Patreon, there are numerous levels in which you can become a member at. You can earn shirts, buttons, stickers, and maybe even the soul of an Apache.
Mike, what the fuck?
You can even help us fund our upcoming movie, which we are editing right as we speak. Well, not me, but Jesse.
You.
Anyway, thank you, and we hope you continue to listen to us. And I haven't forgotten you guys. Here's some shout-outs. KN, Jane MH, Matthew W, Kathleen LH, Wes T, Jamie F, Joe K, and Bridget B. Thank you so much.
You're all the real ones.
And this toke's for you.
Mike, that's toilet water.
Okay, so yeah, so just you know, establishing that, like, before this, I had no belief in or experience, like, where I would describe I had, like, seen, like, a ghost or something, and I still probably would say that, because I'm saying it right now. So, this event happened a few months ago in early August of last year, 2017, so I was far away from where I live now, Albany, New York, and I was down in Junction City, Kansas.
What were you doing all the way down there?
I was with my girlfriend, and we were seeing her family who lives in Kansas.
Ah.
Visit beautiful Junction City, Kansas.
We've got junctions.
We got cities.
There weren't that many junctions.
Was there only one junction, actually?
There were no cities. and there was a one junction, I think. I don't know what it...
I was led to believe this would be a literal city of junctions, sir.
I think it is completely appropriate that anyone... and all of you should be questioning why I was in Junction City, Kansas.
Yeah, I mean, so far, like, the least believable part of this is that somebody visited Kansas willingly.
Yeah.
What's the cool attractions in Kansas?
They have a really nice military base near Junction City, Kansas.
That's legitimate.
That's, like, something you can look at, though. You can't really go inside of them unless you know somebody in the military, right?
Yeah, one of my girlfriend's, like, cousin-in-law is in the military, so we could have gone in there, but I didn't wanna, so we didn't go.
Yeah, I remember when I was in the military base, and I'd be like, who's this motherfucker? Like, you'd see him walking around with long hair, and you'd be like, is that one of those drug dealers that sneak in here sometimes?
No, that's just Kyle.
That's high-level dealing.
So the scene is set.
You were on a peaceful mission.
Yeah, we were just there to see some family.
An ambassador of the North.
Kyle, be honest.
Yeah.
Y'all fucking...
All right, what?
Junction City. I'm sorry.
Me and the city? Are we fucking... We had a brief tryst.
Is this a committed relationship between you and Junction City, Kyle? We need to know. How deep is your love?
He fell in love with the city.
Oh, that city and its many fast food restaurants.
Anyway, so you're with your girlfriend in Junction City.
Yes.
And something happened.
So here's what happened. We had gone to bed. And I woke up a couple hours later, and when I woke up, I looked up, and in this room that was really dark, and I feel this is important to say because, I guess, to get all the kind of cards on the table here, I wear glasses because I am nearsighted.
Same here.
Just like 12 Angry Men.
So my glasses were off during this. So I couldn't see very clearly. So I look up and I see kind of in the darkness there was a kind of large womanly figure standing what seemed to be like a few feet away from the bed we were in, and it looked like she was like holding like an infant in her arms.
Goodbye.
And I thought that was really weird because, well, at first I was annoyed because I thought there was a woman with a baby in my room, and I was like, oh, I don't want to deal with this shit right now.
Wait.
Ma'am, I don't want your baby, all right?
Hang on, Kyle, you were under the impression that there was a woman with a baby, like a real live woman with a baby standing in your room and watching you while you're asleep, and your first reaction was not pants-shitting fear, but, ah, what fresh hell is this?
No, because I will explain that.
I love the logic there. He's like, there's a fucking apparition in front of me. Get that fucking baby out of here.
Wait, Kyle, where were you staying? Were you staying with her family or were you at a hotel?
I was staying with the family.
Was this at the Overlook Hotel, Junction City, Kansas location?
The Kansas Shining? You've always been here, Mr. Torrance. I actually have no idea how they speak in Kansas because no one has ever been to Kansas. You're the first one.
They don't really have Southern accents. Like,
really?
Yeah, like because it's the Midwest and it's a weird thing.
I live fucking 3 hours from Canada, so that don't mean shit. All of my neighbors talk like that.
That's how we talk.
So getting back to this, the reason I was annoyed and I was just like, what's going on here, is that I assumed it was... someone else who was in the house?
What woke you?
Oh, I'm a terrible sleeper.
Okay.
And I had to use the bathroom, I think. That's what it was. I was, like, annoyed, but also, like, leery. You know when you wake up when you're asleep? Like, when you've been disturbed from your sleep? Your brain doesn't go to logical places at first?
No.
Oh, no.
I was just like, oh, God, what's going on here?
Like, you're still dreaming.
Because there was someone else in the house who somewhat matched the description that I had just mentioned. And there was, like, a cousin of my girlfriend who had stopped by earlier that day and had a baby. So I was like, oh, okay, these are the people that I'm seeing. And they're in this room that I'm in.
It's like 3 a.m, they're like, come look at that baby.
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all see it?
The baby's sick.
You know what? That's unfortunate. And then I run through the window. You know, we're gonna start a GoFundMe for your baby, but first I'm getting the fuck out of here because this is horrifying.
Hell, Max, I couldn't wait. Yeah.
So I woke up and I was like, well, this is very strange, but I still need to use the bathroom. So
walk past, excuse me.
I get up from the bed and this thing is like kind of keeping pace with me as I move. Not like it was moving.
Wait, it's following you?
It was staying, like, let's say I got up and I like kind of moved to the left, and it was like keeping that same like distance.
That same relative position in your eye line.
Yeah, the same relative position to where I was. Yeah.
Kind of like when you're driving in a car and the moon's following you.
Yeah, exactly like that.
Hmm.
So I could still see like this figure. So I got up and I kind of slowly made my way to the bathroom, and it wasn't just like in the same spot. It was like I had to turn to get out, and it was still kind of there. And then I turned to go into the bathroom, and it was still like across from me. And then when I turned on the lights, like I couldn't see anything anymore. And when I had, you know, when I turned them back off, then I didn't see it anymore.
Hmm.
And I guess this should have gone in the background, I suppose. But about a year before this trip, there was an unexpected death in the family,
mm-hmm,
of someone who had lived in that house, who was very young and matched kind of the description.
What about the baby? Was there any relevance there?
Yeah, I spoke to the family about kind of what I had seen, and they had said that their daughter who had died was really fond of another kid in the family and was always like kind of holding him and hanging out and spending time with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's who they, you know, kind of went to as soon as I was like, okay, yeah, I saw this stuff last night. I don't really know what it was, but here's what I saw.
Did they try to write it off as, oh, that must have been like, you know, like you may have been seeing like a shadow, or it was just a dream or something? Or were they receptive to this?
No, they were pretty receptive. I mean, I didn't really kind of ask about it.
Mm-hmm. So the silhouette of a silent woman holding I imagine a sleeping baby just followed you around the room. And this was your first time staying there?
Yeah, I had never been there before.
It's almost like she was like kind of checking in, like, oh, who's this person?
Yeah, that's actually what my girlfriend's family said, because this was the first time that her and I had been there since she had died.
Had you known her before she died?
No, I had never met her.
So basically you described this apparition to the family and they said, that sounds like this person who passed away?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Did you stay there? Did you spend any more nights there after that?
Oh, I was there for a whole week, and that took place like the second or third night, I think.
Did you ever see it again?
No, I didn't. It's just that one night.
That's crazy. Has anyone else, like your girlfriend or girlfriend's family, like told you, like, hey, you know, things have been going on in the house since then?
Has anyone else, like, ever seen something?
They didn't mention it, mm-hmm, and I didn't really press them on it because it's like,
it's a weird, uncomfortable thing, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't want to press them on this topic.
Yeah, sure.
Understandable.
Especially because it was my first time meeting them.
Yeah, that's a little much to broach on the getting to meet the relations.
It's like, hey family I've never met, regale me of your tales of ghosts.
Tell me of everyone who's died in this place. I have to know it for tax reasons.
What if you just handled it like the fucking chapstick guy in Long Island? You're just like, now listen, I understand it's a fucking tragedy, and it was very sad, but she was peeping on me when I was sleeping, and I think I have the right to know who the fuck this person is. Sir, you're gonna have to leave. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Yeah, we didn't discuss it much beyond that, but a day or so later we did we visited her gravesite.
Did you give her like an offering of sake?
I did not have any sake.
Next time then.
Yeah.
Why would you give her sake?
Ghosts love sake. It's just, it's known.
If they're weeaboos, they do.
Yeah, like, I don't know if I appreciate your like sweeping generalization of the dead, sir. How did you tell your girlfriend? Did you wake her up right after it happened, or did you wait till morning?
No, I did not wake her up right after that happened.
You're cold the fuck blooded, dude.
You got death at your feet, and you ain't saving your lady?
You wake up, you see a ghost, you don't fucking scream, you're just like, this fucking thing. Jesus fucking Christ.
Look, I'm from New Jersey. That's my response to essentially everything.
Real quick, what part of Jersey are you from?
I grew up in North Bergen.
Oh, no shit. I'm from Passaic.
Oh, wow, Passaic, yeah. Yeah, I've been there lots of times.
Were you getting drugs?
No, my dad worked at PCCC. So,
oh yeah, I was just joking about that.
That's
good work, Kyle. Say nothing.
We don't really see too many ghosts in Passaic because we're in fucking urban areas. When you're dead, you just fucking stay dead. You don't want to fucking hang around.
Well, you know, you move out to the suburbs.
Yeah.
I mean, what if that's all heaven is? If there is an afterlife, it's like, okay, you get to live in the suburbs now. Like, what kind of capitalist shit is this?
I would find the nearest trapdoor to hell and just fucking dump down that chute.
Congratulations, your afterlife is Paramus, New Jersey. Enjoy.
Also, I'll be honest, the suburbs would absolutely just be hell.
But you should shake it up and live somewhere like fucking dangerous, like live in fucking Compton.
No, I guess if it's the afterlife and you can't die anymore, then yeah, absolutely. Like, don't make it like Bleach where you can just die when you're dead. If you're infinite, then yeah, plunge yourself into the Valhalla that is, I don't know, like Montreal? I don't know, I've never been.
But wait, what kind of afterlife are we talking here in Compton? Like, is it like you go to normal Compton as a spirit, or you're in like the parallel mirror dimension of like afterlife Compton, so there's like drive-by smudgings?
Oh yeah, it's like a Saints Row game in there. And no matter how many times you die, you just respawn.
Because if reading any occult book has taught me anything, it's the fucking phenomenon of surviving physical death, becoming a spirit, can all be undone by burning chicken seasoning.
Oh, yeah. Sage. Ghosts hate it. Also, salt sometimes.
Yeah, so ring of salt. Like, ghosts have weird rules.
Yes.
Like, I thought, like I gotta deal with rules in the afterlife, too. Like, sure this is heaven?
What if, like, ghosts weren't actually bound by these rules? It's only in their heads. So it's like, whatever you think about ghosts, then you're bound by those rules.
Are you talking about the dogma clause? Whatever you hold true on Earth, I'll hold true in the afterlife?
No, that's not what Dell's talking about. He's talking about some Vampire the Masquerade stuff.
Probably.
No, that was the thing where it's like...
Was that how it worked with Geists? I honestly don't remember.
Well, no. It's like how in the early Vampire the Masquerade books, where it was like, as like a drawback, you could, for vampires, like you could be weak to traditional like vampire stuff. Stuff like garlic and
that's right,
crosses and running water. But it's like if you thought about it, like if you thought it was true, you were weak against it.
Oh, okay.
Was that an Anne Rice book?
No, it was a tabletop role-playing game.
It took a lot of stuff from Anne Rice, though.
It did steal a lot from Anne Rice.
It took a lot of things from a lot of things. And then WWE took from them.
What?
Oh, yeah. In the 90s, there was a wrestler named Gangrel, who was...
The Brood.
Yes, he was leader of The Brood, which contained Edge and Christian, and then the Hardy Boys. And Gangrel was the subject of copyright, or some sort of intellectual property dispute.
Wait, are we talking about the little detective kid Hardy Boys?
Yeah, they would jump off ladders and do drugs.
What?
It was a great follow-up. So... Yeah, Gangrel was the name of a vampire clan in Vampire the Masquerade, the property of White Wolf Publishing. And so White Wolf sued WWE, and they got rid of Gangrel pretty quickly.
I think they got rid of Gangrel for a lot of other reasons than that.
You know, there are a lot of reasons they wouldn't want Gangrel around, such as that he's garbage.
How the fuck does this shit always come back to wrestling? We're a paranormal podcast!
There's, hey, as we know, Vince McMahon is
Satan. No, he's Satan.
Truth never sleeps.